You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The American Angle with William Hill.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to William Hill's US Sports Podcast. It is week one of the new NFL season getting underway, of course, on Thursday night. We're going to look at the TV games on Sunday, though, for what promises to be a very interesting first week of the season. Sam Norris here, and joined as ever on the podcast from the William Hill trading floor by in-play US sports trader Stephen Back. Stephen, how are you?
Good to be back. Summer is finally over by the looks of it.
Yeah, which means football is back.
Most wonderful time of the year. Basketball's around the corner. American football is back. Everything is kicking into gear again.
Certainly is. We're going to take a look at the televised games coming up on Sunday night on this edition. And then, of course, we'll look at the two televised Monday night games as well. Plenty to discuss. We'll get straight into it then and begin with the Titans at the Cleveland Browns, which is the first game off the shelf this week. 11-5 for the Titans. The Browns are 5-13 on the money line. A 5.5-point spread at the time of recording. 10-11 plus 5.5 for the Titans. And the Browns, given the 5.5, they are in the betting at 10-11. We spoke a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, sort of a pre-season look at the NFL. As you know, I'm not all in on the Browns, but I'm a big fan of the Cleveland Browns this year. They've added what looks to be a top quarterback in the shape of Baker Mayfield. They've went out and got him some weapons in the off-season. Odell Beckham, obviously a very high-profile acquisition for them. I really like the Browns' chances of potentially going all the way this season. And they come up against a Titans side in week number one, who I can never really trust under the stewardship of Marcus Mariota.
Well, the only thing I'd say plus for Mariota this season is that he's got a fully functioning shoulder and hand this year, seen as
which helps,
which does help when you are a quarterback and you're supposed to throw the ball. Not ideal for Cam Newton right now, but like we said, like I did a fair few games last year, and he just couldn't throw it beyond 20 yards last season. So now that he's back to full health, we might actually see a better version of Marcus Mariota, where we see that deep threat option and they're a bit more reliant. I think they've now discovered what Derrick Henry can do. So he's probable for Sunday's game as well. So there's probably a lot better chance of him playing a featured role in the offense. Obviously, they've got Derrick Henry. And I can't never remember the name of their other...
Deion Lewis?
Deion Lewis is their other running back as well. So they've got that two-pronged attack out of the backfield. But it is that... How quickly are the Browns going to mesh? Obviously, they've got this first time... Baker Mayfield's got all these weapons. He's got Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham, and Njoku at tight ends.
Jarvis Landry.
Mm. So he's got all these options, all these threats. What are they going to do? What's he going to do with them all? How long before we see it all mesh? Is it going to go out straight out the gate red hot, or is it going to take maybe a couple of weeks, and then maybe they're out of the picture already? So in terms of the betting for this one, the line opened, so when all the betting opened in Vegas and with us ourselves, the Browns were 5.5, so they've moved out a little bit to 5.5. So obviously people are fancying the Browns at the minute. Obviously we're recording this on a Thursday afternoon. By the time it gets to Sunday at 6 o'clock, the line could have shifted quite a bit more in their favour, or it could have come in for the Titans. We'll have to see what happens.
Indeed. In terms of your personal thoughts on this game, it'll be no surprise to know that I'm firmly with the Browns in this one, giving away the points as well. What do you think will happen?
I think I'm in the same boat. I mean, I was looking at the history of them, the last five between the Titans and the Browns. Against the spread, the Titans are 0-3-1, so you've got three losses. The last four, they've had three losses and one push against the spread, so history is not on the Titans' side. And then the over, like you said, you fancy the points on this one. The over's 5-1 in the last six games between these two sides. Of which then it seems to work in the Titans' favour as well. They're 4-0 with the over against the last four AFC opponents and the last six games overall. So it's been high-scoring games for the Titans.
Yeah, the point spread, incidentally, is set at 45.5, 10-11 over and under for that one. But two picks for the Browns then in that televised 6 o'clock game. Onto the feature game at 9:25, the New York Giants are in Dallas to take on the Cowboys. 57-20 for the Giants, 20-69 for the Dallas Cowboys. The spread here is 7.5, with the Cowboys giving the 7.5. That's 20-21, and the Giants in receipt of the 7.5 point head start at 20-23. Fortunately, just purely for the podcast and it not wanting to date too much, as you mentioned, we're recording this on a Thursday afternoon. Ezekiel Elliott has penned his new mega deal before the podcast, which was good. He looks like he's going to be a goer for week one, which is perfect when we're coming to discuss this game, because they are a different proposition with or without Zeke, the Cowboys. To be fair, they'd be favourites either way, but having Ezekiel Elliott in there as well is obviously going to tip the balance even further toward their favour on paper. This is a Giants side who've obviously got a star running back in the making themselves in the shape of Saquon Barkley, but it's another year with Eli Manning at the helm, and it could be another year where the Giants potentially struggle. Obviously, Barkley's going to have that much more responsibility on his shoulders this year. They haven't now got the option of Odell Beckham anymore. And from the Cowboys' side of things, it feels like this could be a big year for Dallas. It feels like they need to make a deep run, a championship game, possibly even a Super Bowl appearance.
It does. The major question is now, is Dak Prescott going to get his money? So you were saying about Zeke signing his contract. When we were sort of setting up this podcast this week, our main fear was...
Yes.
Ezekiel Elliott, we're going to record this on Friday morning. Ezekiel Elliott's going to pen his contract. However, he thought about us.
Yes,
he knew
exactly.
We were recording today. So he signed it on Wednesday morning.
Thanks for that, Zeke.
Thank you, Zeke.
If you're listening.
Of which, your thoughts on that contract, I think it's not the greatest move by the Cowboys. Paying him, he's now locked up 6 years.
Yes.
Running backs don't have a great shelf life.
It feels like Zeke's come out of the deal in a better position than the Cowboys have.
Yeah, It stinks of Jerry Jones as an old man and he wants to win one more Super Bowl before he moves along. And the only way he feels he can do it is by paying star players. So we'll see how it works in the long run. They have their star running back. I still have questions about their quarterback. I don't trust Dak Prescott. For the money he wants, I don't think he's good enough. However, when we move to this Sunday, in terms of the lines, okay, so it's opened... It's fluctuated a little bit, so it's opened at 7.5. We're now back to 7.5. When I was writing up my notes for this last night, it'd come in a little bit, and it was Cowboys -7. So we're about back to where we started. In terms of this is the game that happens every year, opening weekend, and we were all talking amongst ourselves in the office, and it was sort of obvious this was going to be the 9 o'clock game for Sky Sports. To be honest with you, when we look at the lines and stuff for this, it screams you've got to take the Cowboys, because the Giants have got, other than Saquon Barkley, no one. And to be fair, the last time they actually faced up these two, Saquon had a very quiet game. I think he only had 27 yards rushing when he actually played these two last time, so he should be in for a better game this time. But in terms of the lines between the two, the Giants are actually 7-0 against the spread in their last 7 road games. When they ended last season, which is a surprising stat, I would have thought, seeing as the Giants had...
You wouldn't have thought that on the basis of their season last year.
Two games they played last year, so Dallas won both. One of them was a squeaker, 36-35 at the Meadowlands. And then it was 20-13 when they played at Cowboys Stadium, not AT&T. And then when you look at the Cowboys, they were 4-0 in their last 4 division games against the spread. So obviously, the first one when they played at the Giants didn't count against that. So it could be a closer game than you thought. So 7.5. Now it's moved to 7.5, and you don't get the push at the 7. Yeah. You might be more enticed to take the Giants, however, with Zeke back. I think before Zeke was going to play, the Giants might have been a slightly more of a teasing bet. But now I think you've got to go with the Cowboys if they're going to have the star running back.
Yeah, of course. And as you say, with the spread just moving that little bit, it means that they now need to win by more than a touchdown, if you like.
Yeah. So if you had the touchdown, win by a touchdown, so for example, 21-14 before, then you'd get the push.
You'd at least get
your cash back on the push. But now that you've got to win by more than a touchdown, it's slightly more of an interesting bet, especially when you've got a bit more value on the Giants, on the Cowboys. But I probably go with the Cowboys on this occasion as well.
Yeah, I think I have to be with the Cowboys as well. The Sunday night game then could be a pretty interesting one. The Pittsburgh Steelers head to the reigning Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. It's 11-5 for the Steelers here. 5-13 about the New England Patriots. +5.5 for the Steelers is 10-11. -5.5 for the Patriots is 10-11. It's a Steelers team who have seen the departures of big names like Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown over the course of the summer. Not that James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster are exactly bad replacements against the New England side that's won another ring last year. Incredibly, this era shows no sign of slowing down. Two of the more elite quarterbacks over the last few years. They're both another year older now, Big Ben and Tom Brady, but likewise, they don't show any signs of slowing down either. What are your thoughts for the Sunday night game? I think this one's close.
So do I. It's sort of... initially, when I saw this, I thought, well, Patriots, 5.5, take the 5.5. But looking a bit deeper into it, it's not quite as clear-cut as you think. It opened at Pats -6, obviously. There's been a bit of Steelers money bringing it back in a little bit. When they played each other last year, it was a very low-scoring type defense affair. So Steelers won that 17-10. And as far as I remember, that was at PNC Park. That's the Pittsburgh Pirates.
It'd be weird if they were playing
there.
Yeah,
Heinz Field, that's it.
Yes.
Completely got my sports mixed up there. But when you actually look at the Patriots, you think they are missing a lot of players for this matchup. Obviously, Gronk's retired. So that side that won the Super Bowl last year, Gronk's retired. Their first-round quarterback who they drafted, Nikhil Harry's been placed in IR, so that's one of their main deep threats gone. We thought when we did the preview podcast, they had a very good receiving corps. Nikhil Harry's gone. They've cut Demaryius Thomas since then. So their wide-out options are a bit thinner, obviously. Flash Gordon's back, so that gives them that deep threat option. They've got Philip Dorsett and then Julian Edelman. So they've still got three good receivers, but they've got no real tight end options because I was looking at their page. Two of their tight ends on the roster are suspended for this game for various drugs reasons, along with Patrick Chung, their starting safety. So it could be an interesting game for the Patriots to see what they look like in this, you wouldn't even call it a new era, but post-Gronk era. Because he was one of their star players. Obviously, you can't replace what he did for blocking on the offensive line and then as just a threat. You had to always either double-team him. Obviously, later on in his career, now once he got banged up, it was a bit different. But this could be interesting. However, the interesting stat that I did hear was that Mike Tomlin has never been under 500 in his tenure at the Steelers.
Okay.
So that means he's always won week one, at least.
Yes.
So is this the year that the streak finally ends? In terms of looking at what the lines were, so probably the best bet for this game, I think, is the unders.
I like that as well, yeah.
Seeing as the line, the unders, over-under line actually opened up at 51.5, so we've already seen a decent chunk taken off that, moving down. So the over-under for this game is 49.5, 10 to 11 on both sides. So I think the unders is probably the best bet if you're not sure which team to go with, to be honest.
I agree. I think that's a really good bet. 49.5 seems a high line. 10 to 11 for the unders on the points. Outright wise on the spread, I think this is closer than a 5.5-point game, so therefore the Steelers will be my pick.
If you want the middle, I'd take the Patriots on the money line at 5 to 13 and then you 5 to 11 on the Steelers. Even though the Patriots did go 4-1 against the spread in their last five home games. So will home field advantage play a big role in that? We're not sure, but I still think, like we said, it could be another 17-10 affair like last time. A very low scoring game. One score could decide it. It could be a field goal. It could be a touchdown. I think we're a bit split on this. I think I would take the Patriots at -5.5. Gostkowski will probably come up with two field goals, which will be the difference in the game, and that will take your money.
That's the Steelers-Patriots game then on Sunday night. But I think we can definitely say unders there feels the...
Unders. I think unders is the safe money bet for that game.
On to Monday night then. A couple of games coming up this Monday night going into Tuesday morning. The first of which looks a cracker in New Orleans as the Texans are in town to take on the Saints. 51-20 for the Texans. The Saints are 10-31. 7-point spread here at the time of recording. 20-23 for the Texans getting the points and the Saints giving the points is 20-21. Saints are obviously widely considered unlucky losers of the NFC Championship game last year. We all know what went on there. They'll have to dust themselves off and look ahead to another year where they are once again viable Super Bowl contenders. Not the easiest seasonal opener in the world, though, against the Texans.
It's not, obviously. The Texans have now jumped into the favourites for the AFC South after Andrew Luck's retirement. We'll touch on that in a minute when we look at some of the lines. Can the Saints get off to a good start, which they never seem to do? Obviously, last year it was the big upset when they lost to the Buccaneers. And looking, they are 0-5 against the spread in their last five Week 1 games, of which is surprising when you think they're such a last year they were such a dominant team. Arguably, they should have been in the Super Bowl were it not for one dodgy call.
Yep.
But they obviously then, I can't remember, what was it, 11 or 12 they rattled off straight after the loss to the Buccaneers. So this could be another banana skin to begin the season if you think they are the Super Bowl chances out of the NFC, Super Bowl threat out of the NFC, which many people tout them to be. As it with it being a flat spread with seven either side, I think the Texans are a bit more of an appealing threat, seeing as we're not sure how Drew Brees is going to age. He's another year older, and he started to show signs of aging towards the end, back end of last season. Obviously, they've paid Michael Thomas now. They've got Alvin Kamara. Ingram has left. So how are they going to work? Not sure. They've got their two legitimate threats in Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas. Outside of that, have they got a lot of options? Remains to be seen. I think that it's the Saints to win at 10 to 31, I think, is a good bet. However, when you're looking at the spread, not sure which side to take. I'd probably take the Texans.
I think I would agree with that at 20-23. Obviously, as we mentioned earlier on, with a 7-point spread, if they lost by a touchdown, you'd get a push.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting better from Deshaun Watson this year. Thought he was going to be an incredible quarterback a couple of years ago. A lesser year last year. It'd have to go down as a disappointing year, but off the back of that horrible injury, you can maybe forgive him a little bit more. Look good in pre-season. It's quite a big year for Deshaun Watson, in truth, but hopefully he can realise some of his immense potential.
Well, they did win the wild card game in the playoffs last season. They beat the Colts, so that was the first step. Can they make that next step now? Obviously, the two heads that they've got to try and overtake are the Patriots and the Chiefs to get to that AFC Championship game. Can it be done? Can he show the form that he had before that horrible ACL injury, I'd say? Mm. Of which, when you look at them, also looking back to this game, they've only played four times, these two teams, since 2003, since the inception of the Houston Texans, and the Favs have gone 4-0 against the spread every time, always won. So, but with only four meetings in the last 16 years, take that what you will, but obviously the Saints in week one have not got a good record the last 5 years, so I'd probably be going against history between these two teams.
Yeah, it was a crazy week one, of course, last year against the Bucks. We finish up week one with a tough matchup, I suppose, for many on paper. The Denver Broncos take on the Oakland Raiders. In Oakland, 10-11 for the Broncos, 10-11 for the Raiders. This is a scratch handicap, obviously. A pick 'em, 10-11 each of two. I guess for me, this is not an easy game to bet on, obviously, but an easy choice for me because I can never trust the Raiders lately. I haven't been able to for a couple of seasons. So I guess the Broncos would be my default choice in this one, in a matchup where I just find it tough to want to side with the Raiders. I just don't know what we're going to get from John Gruden's side.
Exactly. I mean, the quote that I heard when I listened to some podcasts is, do we know that John Gruden's a good coach anymore? I mean, we haven't seen it for a long
time.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Is he still just a TV personality? In terms of the betting for this one, I think this is the line that's flip-flopped the most out of all of them. So when it opened up, Raiders were 2.5-point favs. When I was writing up all my notes here last night, the Broncos were actually 1-point favs, and now it's gone back to a scratch, so it's really moved up and down a lot. So there's been a lot of money either way for this. So it really is a pick'em if you want, but I think I'm siding with you. I mean, even when I was writing this up last night, I still would have taken the Broncos -1 on the spread. So I think arguably now you're actually getting more value with the spread moving back to a pick. You've got a better money line price. So it's obviously with the pick, you can pick whichever one you'd like to take on the money line or the spread. Obviously, when it is a pick, the money line's a more enticing option because if you're that kind of gambler, you have the cash out option. But it is entirely up to you. So I probably say the Broncos is my pick. And then looking back at their history, so the Broncos haven't lost against the spread in their last four week one games. They've had two wins and two pushes. So obviously when it's a scratch, you can't have a push.
Yep.
So history is on your side. The only other thing I'd say is probably take the unders in this game. Broncos have got a very good defense. We don't know what the Raiders are going to do. Derek Carr has been a long way removed from that breakout season he had where the last time the Raiders made the playoffs.
Mm.
So the under was 5-0 the last five times that these two have played, and then the home team went 5-1 against the spread. Obviously, we're backing against that, thinking that the Broncos are going to win this game. And then the last time, two times these played, this was one of Oakland's few wins the last time they played last year. So Oakland won 27-14 at home and then lost 2019 when they played at Mile High.
Okay. Just before we wrap up, let's talk some best bets elsewhere. Obviously, we focused generally there on the televised games on Sky Sports. Best bet out of the 6 o'clock games for you?
Out of the 6 o'clock games, I probably... Well, we talked about this before. I like the Kansas City Chiefs at -3. I think that's a very good bet.
I agree.
However, if you want a safe money short odds bet, I'd probably take the Ravens at the Dolphins. Not necessarily to cover. Well, to be fair, actually, it's moved even more from last night. It was a 7.5-point spread. So by a touchdown, I might be more tempted to take that at 10 to 11 -6.5 on the Ravens. But I think between the pair of us, it is probably the Chiefs that we both like. At the 6 o'clock games, at -3. -3 at 5 to 6.
Yeah, I do like that bet at 5 to 6. One other one that I'll throw into the mix, and this comes in the one of the 9:25 games, and not a game that I thought would catch my eye necessarily when the schedules were announced, but the Lions only having to give 2.5 to the Cardinals. Big fan of this bet. The Cardinals defense are banged up. They're missing both cornerbacks. And whilst you know, I don't expect the Lions to be much of a threat in the NFC North this year, they finally got a running game, which they haven't had for seasons and seasons. Kerryon Johnson became the first Lion to run for 1,000 yards in ages last year. So they've got a bit of a different threat going forward. I do think the Lions have still got a very good defence. And of course, we've got the rookie quarterback likely to start for the Cards. And the Lions, in their first match last year, they were against a rookie quarterback in Sam Darnold. First throw in his NFL career, a pick six. I'm not saying that exactly the same is going to happen, but we saw this Lions defense shred the rookie quarterback last year. I wonder if it might happen again in this one. And I didn't think 2.5 points was a lot to give for the Lions against a team who might be one of the worst in the NFL this year in the Cards.
They might be, but I also think the Lions...
I don't think they'll be too far
worst.
Behind. Yeah,
but
yeah,
so I actually, that. Looking at this, I was flip-flopping the other way. I actually fancy the Cardinals.
Really?
There's one stat. The only stat that I've heard from last year that goes against it is rookie head coaches went 1-5 in their first games last year.
Right.
So by that, you'd go with Matt Patricia, a slightly more seasoned head. He's going to go with the ex-Patriots offense, so multiple tight ends, which you don't know any of them. I was actually more leaning towards the Cardinals. However, you are banging the drum for the Lions there. The only the interesting one that I thought on the 9 o'clock games was the Colts Chargers, which has seen the biggest shift out of all the lines. Obviously, when it opened up, it had Andrew Luck under center taking the ball. He has now since retired. Make that what you will. He made the right decision for him.
Mm-hmm.
So when the line opened up, the Chargers were 3.5. So obviously, the Colts are at the Chargers. Whereas now it has moved all the way out to Chargers -6.5. You've got 10 to 11 either side. It all depends on your view of Jacoby Brissett, of whether you think, obviously, they're not quite the Super Bowl pick they were.
Yep.
But all you've done is taken out arguably an MVP candidate at quarterback and put in a very competent backup. But the difference is he has that offensive line in front of him now, whereby he's not going to be put under as much pressure as what Luck was for his entire career, which is arguably why he has retired.
Yeah, because he had absolutely no O-line to support him.
Yeah, and he just got absolutely pummeled week in, week out. So I think the Colts maybe at 6-5 is a good shout. And it depends what you think of another aging quarterback, Phillip Rivers, as well. Melvin Gordon, is he going to play for the Chargers? Obviously, he's in a holdout situation looking for a trade. That's probably not going to happen before week one. So
and the Zeke Elliott situation won't have helped the Chargers really there, because Gordon will see how much money Elliott's getting and he'll want at least a similar-ish deal,
exactly,
if not more.
And then, so I think the Colts are a good bet at the 6 o'clock game. The only other one I looked at was just some... It won't be a competitive game, is the Seahawks-Bengals.
Yeah.
Which I can only really see Seahawks covering that, because the Bengals just are horrific this season. They will probably be one of the worst, if not the worst team.
Yeah, I was just about to say, talking of worst teams in the NFL, I think the Bengals are probably going to...
Yeah, Seahawks
seal the first.
Well, the
pick
Seahawks,
year,
I think,
like,
is definitely, if any of you do like an NFL Survivor or Last Man Standing,
yeah,
the Seahawks is my number one, is my number week one pick, because they just look like they can't lose. Obviously, they've just signed Clowney from the Texans as well, So they've bolstered that defence. It's not quite the Legion of Boom from years ago, but I think that is a very safe bet at -6.5. Yeah, nine and a half.
They do look a bit of a lock this week. The Seahawks. Don't forget, you check out all the betting as well, all the lines in a variety of different markets available to you on the William Hill website ahead of week one of the NFL. Fingers crossed we've landed on a winner or two over the course of the last half an hour or so. Stephen, thank you very much for joining me as ever, and we'll talk again ahead of week two.
Pleasure as always.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.